Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today? Happy Sunday. Is it the last Sunday of May? Is it? Almost? Who's excited for the summertime? Is anybody summer like their favorite season? Yeah, let's go. This the season to get sunburns. That's my story usually. Well, hey, I just want to welcome you to Redemption Church. My name is Ben, I'm one of the pastors here. I have the wonderful privilege of serving as the next gen pastor here. Been here for, oh gosh, it's been like 8 or 9 months now. Me and my beautiful wife, we serve in the ministry, we love it. Friday nights are crazy here. If you guys ever want to just like get overwhelmed and like all your senses just like cause craziness, come on a Friday and check it out. I usually like my voice is raspy and I just need to like sit in like a dark room and just like contemplate my like life decisions. No, I'm just kidding. But no, today I have the amazing privilege of bringing the word of God with you this morning. We're going to continue in our series in the book of Ephesians. Have you guys been enjoying it so far? It's been good. I wasn't here this past or last week. I was with the kids, but the week before when we were talking about predestination, I'm still thinking about some of those things that Pastor Daniel said. Amazing stuff. I hope to do like half as good as he's doing. We're going to finish off the book today. We're going to read the final 9 verses. I think you guys are becoming probably more and more aware that this book, the letter to the Ephesians, is a book that's filled with this beautiful, rich theology. And you may read it and you think, that makes no sense. Like, what is this even talking about? I'm kind of been there quite a bit. It's this beautiful letter to this new church plant in Ephesus so many years ago. But before we dive into the scripture today, let's do a little recap. Let's talk about who is this church of Ephesus? What are these people like? What's their context? I really feel like once we kind of get a bit of an understanding of who this letter is written to, we'll realize that, hey, maybe this is applicable in our own lives as well. So what do we know about Ephesus? Ephesus was this huge city, and it was this epicenter of worship of many Greek and Roman gods. In addition, we know that this was like a bustling hub of business and trade, and many people from all around the ancient world would come here, bringing their traditions, bringing their worldviews, and bringing their religions. Kind of sounds similar to here a little bit, right? Like Vancouver, people coming from all over. People are drawn to the big cities, right? So Ephesus, over time, turned into this, for lack of a better word, this melting pot of like tons of religion, tons of different gods. There's believed to be over 50 goddesses and gods that were being worshipped, and people were free to worship whenever they wanted and wherever they wanted. So Paul, he's arriving in Ephesus, and in the Bible it talks how he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's not speaking from just his words of wisdom from his own, like from a human perspective, but he's filled with God's Spirit. And with that being said, he has this authority and power that he's communicating in. Does that kind of make sense? So for the total of about 3 years while Paul is being a missionary, essentially, here in this amazing city of Ephesus, we see that he has great success. There's numerous amounts of people that are coming to know Jesus. If you want to do a little bit of nerding out yourself, you can read Acts chapter 19, verse 10 and 12. I did a little bit of nerding out because that's what you do when you are preparing for a sermon. And I love these two verses. It's in verse 10 and 12, or 10 to 12. It says this: "This went on for 2 years, so all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord." Man, I would love that if that was our story here in Vancouver. Everybody in Vancouver one day has heard the word of the Lord. And then it says this: "God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them." Imagine that kind of faith. Imagine that kind of anointing. It's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead was in Paul, and we have access to that same spirit today. So we know that Paul has done this incredibly significant work, and about 6 years in total have passed, and now he's imprisoned. He's imprisoned by the Romans, and now he's writing this letter to this growing young church in Ephesus, this young church plant. And today we're going to finish the final verses of chapter 1. And as I was thinking, when we're reading this letter, it's kind of like we're reading Paul's mail. We're kind of doing a little bit of snooping. We're seeing what's going on in Paul's mind in the prison cell. So we're going to read verses 15 to 23. We're going to have it on the screen for you as well. But if you brought a Bible, please feel free to follow along. So I'm going to read in the NIV translation. It says this: "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation." Somebody say wisdom and revelation. "So that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms." Verse 21, it says, "Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church." And the last verse, it says, "Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." We'll see how it goes today. That's the assignment. That's the goal. We're going to talk about these verses today. I want to preach from the subject, open my eyes. Open my eyes. Let's pray together as we dive into God's word this morning. Father in heaven, we acknowledge you're here in this place. We thank you that where two or three are gathered, Lord, you are there amongst us. And so God, we pray today by your spirit, I pray that you would illuminate the text that we're reading today. Lord, though it was written for a different audience so many years ago, Lord, I pray that these words would come to life to us today. Lord, would it not just be words and sentences, but it would be the transformative work of your spirit that we receive today. God, I just pray for anybody here today who is struggling with just the weightiness of sin, or they're just contemplating even their faith and trust in you. God, I pray that by your spirit, you would strengthen, encourage, challenge, and convict us today. God, leave us in a place where we're beholding just the beauty of Jesus. Lord, this is all for your glory. We love you and we praise you. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Let's go. I've told this a few times before, but when I first kind of really started following the Lord, I was 19. I really kind of dedicated my life back to God when I was a part of a missions organization called YWAM, and that's where God really transformed my life and really kind of brought me up back on the straight and narrow path. And a part of this school, it's kind of divided into classroom studies and outreach. It's kind of like 3 months of each. And a part of the classroom study is you have what's called like student leaders that would essentially help you and kind of disciple you and answer questions that you have. They're kind of people that have already done these schools. They're a little more ahead in their faith, and they're just there to support you and help you. And I had this guy, and his name is Brody. Brody actually lives in, I think he lives in Kamloops now. I haven't talked to him in a long time, but Brody was my like assigned one-on-one leader, where if I had any questions about what we've been learning about, if I wanted to know a bit more about faith, or just ask questions about even just life itself, he was the guy that was kind of like assigned to me, if that kind of makes sense. So me and Brody, over the weeks, we got very close. We would have good conversations, and he would just kind of really just help me understand some of these things that we were talking about. A lot of the weeks we're just learning about different aspects of God's character, and this was all so new, so I needed somebody to process and somebody to kind of bounce ideas back off of and so forth. And so what was really nice is what made Brody, I think, so awesome, is he would actually hang out with me and a few other people outside of just like the designated like one-on-one time. So he would kind of go above and beyond. And over time, I was beginning to wonder. I would think to myself, Brody, why are you investing so much time? Why do you care so much about the questions that I have? I mean, he was just a really nice guy, so that's probably why. But I remember he like sat down and he looked at me and he told me, he's like, "Ben, I'm here for you because I want to see you succeed. I want this faith I want this journey that you're on following Jesus not just be some six-month thing and then it kind of goes after a while. I want this to be solid in your life. I want Christ to be like a firm foundation in your life. He just wanted to see me succeed. He wanted to see me win. You know what I mean? He just wanted to see me do well. And I'm kind of reminded, as I look more in this letter that Paul is talking to these young church goers of Ephesus, I kind of get this vibe that Paul is just like this, kind of like this proud dad or like this really cool uncle that just like wants to see them succeed. He wants to see them do well. I love that about this letter. Paul is encouraging, he's praying, and in this kind of 8 or 9 verses that we're going to read today, Paul is we're going to study this prayer that he gives to these young church believers. But before we kind of dive into that, I love the very beginning. If you look at the first verse, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people." You notice that line, "and your love for God's people." I love how this idea of when we're following Jesus, some of the main reasons that people can see our love and devotion for the Lord Jesus is just our love for each other. Isn't that, it's so simple, but it's so true, right? People can see the faith that we have, and there should be evidence, there should be fruit in our own lives of us just having this love and commitment to each other. That's a sign of a good, healthy church, a good, healthy, own relationship. As I look around here, I love our church community, but I feel like we can even do better of loving each other, of serving each other, of having each other's backs. That's the first thing that Paul says. If you're a lover of Jesus, the fruit that you should be able to see is your love for one another. And Paul is telling these believers, "I see it. I'm so proud of you. I see it." He says in verse 16, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." In these following verses, Paul gives us this important concept of what to pray for. You know, I think it's good to pray for ourselves. You know, it talks about in Samuel, how Samuel strengthened himself in the Lord. There's this idea that we need to pray over ourselves, pray over our own families. But man, what a beautiful thing it is that when we actually not always look inwardly when we're praying, but actually praying for the needs of others. I found in my own personal walk with Jesus, I find that when I'm most like, I say, the preteens always like think it's so weird that I say this. I always say like dialed in. They're like, "Ben, why do you say dialed in so much?" I'm like, it's like a word from like when I was like graduating high school like 10 years ago. They're like, "You're so old." I'm like, "No, you're not. You're just young." Anyways, yeah, the preteens just roast me all the time. I'm like, I thought I was cool, but apparently I'm not really that cool. Why did I even say that? I don't even remember. Dialed in, that's right. We'll just go to the next part. I love Paul's heart for the people here of the church. We can learn of the simple, incredibly important idea of praying for other people. It's such a vital part of our walks with Jesus. It's so good, it's so good. In the following verse, Paul shows us that he's praying for the church of Ephesus. And if you're wondering what a prayer for a group of people should look like, this is it. If you're wondering maybe how you can pray for other churches or other church communities or other families of believers, you can use this passage of scripture. Maybe this should inform how we pray as well. Now let's keep going. In verse 17, this is kind of the main verse that I want to kind of park here, so to speak. I want to spend some good time because there's lots in this. So let's go into it together. It says this: "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." That's such a good verse. I was wondering, you have it on the screen. Can we read that verse together? I think it's such a profound verse. This is what's called an apostolic prayer. There's two in the book of Ephesians. This is the first one. It's Paul's prayer for the church of Ephesus. Can we read this together? This verse 17, that's it. Let's do it together on three. 1, 2, 3. "I keep..." Amen. That's good. It's good to read the word of God together out loud. I love that. Paul is commending the Ephesians for their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love towards all the saints. We see that in verse 15. But now he's asking God to give them this deeper understanding, this deeper kind of glimpse of the mysteries and the power and the love of God. He's praying that what they know now would continue to increase and grow as time goes on. And as we look into this apostolic prayer, Paul loves these people. He loves this young church, and he wants to see them succeed. As we look into this verse here, do you notice that, if you look on the screen, do you notice that the word spirit is capitalized? It's not the spirit of wisdom and revelation, but it's this word spirit. It's capitalized, meaning it's a name, it's a person. So here Paul is showing us that it's actually the Holy Spirit who is the ultimate revealer, is the ultimate revealer of the attributes and character of God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. In short, I know you could talk about, do a 10-part series on the Holy Spirit and you just scratch the surface, but when I boil it down simply, it's the Holy Spirit reveals the deep mysteries of God and reveals the person of Jesus to us. And let me just say this, there's no way that we can fully grasp what God is like. We're only humans. We have such a small, limited mind. It says in the Bible that God has placed eternity in the heart of every man, meaning we can't fully comprehend the power and the vastness of God, for we're just humans. I love that verse where it's like, who is man that you are mindful of him? Like, who are we to think that we can approach God's throne of grace? But in his mercy, we know that he sent Jesus to pay, and so that we can be seen as holy before an amazing, sovereign, powerful God. What an amazing thing. So the Holy Spirit is described in the Bible as our advocate or our helper, implying that if we're ever struggling in any facet of our walk with him, if we feel like our faith is low, we pray, Holy Spirit, increase my faith today. If we feel like we're reading scripture and it's just maybe not really making a lot of sense to you, maybe I read the verses today and you're like, there's no way I'm going to get anything from this. You can pray, Holy Spirit, illuminate this text. I pray that it would be relevant and applicable in my own life. The Holy Spirit wants to help us understand the deep mysteries of God and aspects of his character. Though we'll never fully comprehend it, the Holy Spirit allows us to continually grow and take steps in that right direction. Does that kind of make sense?
Yes.
Good. I was hoping you'd say yes. So continuing forward, we stumble upon the words that Paul uses, which he reveals when he's praying for the Ephesian believers. So he says, I pray that they give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So I want to kind of do a little word study a little bit, talk about some of these words. We're going to put on our thinking caps right now. We're going to dive into this word a little, these two words together. It'll help us understand a little bit of what Paul is actually praying and believing for these Ephesian believers. So in the Greek, the word wisdom here, it's actually a common word. It's like a name. It's called Sophia. Everybody say Sophia. So that's wisdom. That's what it means in the Greek. Maybe there's like a slight fancier way how to say it. But I took Greek a couple years ago at Bible college. I'm a little slow right now. So we'll just go with Sophia for now, which essentially is talking about human knowledge or understanding. It's pretty straightforward, right? That's what this wisdom is talking about. So he's saying, I pray that the spirit of wisdom, and then he goes into this word revelation. Somebody say revelation.
Revelation.
Revelation. What this word actually is in the Greek is apocalypse. Apocalypse. No, this isn't, zombie apocalypse, end of the world. This is different. You know, if you're watching The Last of Us, it's not what that is. It's not The Walking Dead. This isn't that kind of apocalypse. I still remember the first time when I was actually in YWAM. I remember the teacher was talking about like how it's apocalypse, and I don't think she explained it, or maybe I just wasn't listening, but she explained like apocalypse, and I'm thinking like the whole book of Revelation is like some like zombie apocalypse type of thing. I'm like, what is going on here? But definitely not what it is. So this is kind of what it is. It's apocalypse is this revealing of truth, if that kind of makes sense. Revealing of truth. So Paul is desiring that the believers of the church of Ephesus would constantly be discovering this new revealing, new depths and new facets of God's character. That's what he's saying. I pray that you would have wisdom and revelation, wisdom and revealing of continual aspects of God's character in your own life. It's this journey of discovery, of growth and illumination through the work of the Holy Spirit. Paul is praying that these new believers in Ephesus would keep having new wisdom and a new apocalypse or a new revelation. There are numerous examples of people receiving profound revelations of the risen Jesus Christ. I think of two kind of examples primarily. The first thing that comes to my mind is, and maybe it's the same for you, it's Paul's encounter on the road to Damascus in chapter 9. He has this radical encounter. He has this revelation. He didn't study the scriptures and he like fell face down and had this radical encounter. It was only by the Holy Spirit revealing the person of Jesus. One example there. Another one that I want to talk a little bit in more depth was Stephen's encounter in Acts chapter 7. I think we have it on the screen, but if not, I'll read it for you anyways. I want to read Acts 7, 55 and 56. Then I'm going to jump a few verses down to verse 60. It says this. This is Stephen. But he, this is his martyr. This is him essentially being killed. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then it says this in verse 60, "Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord,'" so mind you, he's essentially getting stones thrown at him. He's enduring this intense, crazy trial, physical beating, the worst type of torture really some of the worst torture you could ever go through. And these are the words that he says, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Wow, this profound revelation. Let me tell you, if he wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit, if he didn't have this profound revelation of who Jesus was, I'm willing to bet a lot of money on it that he's not going to be getting stoned and saying, "Lord, forgive these people. Don't worry about what they're doing. It's all good." No way, Jose. That's not taking place. I don't know about you, but I long to have experiences. I long to experience new revelations of who Jesus is. I wonder if that's maybe why you're here today. You're saved, or if you're not, that's awesome. We're glad you're here. This is not a church just for people who are following Jesus, but you could be discovering, and that's all good too. You're welcome here. But let's just say a lot of us here, we're followers of Jesus. You know, we made that personal commitment to follow him. But it doesn't just stop there. It's not just like you make that commitment and then it's like, all right, I'm going to take a step back. I'm just going to chill and just let everything else happen. No, there's this pursuit. There's this desire that I think we all have in us. I feel like if we're here today, I think it's pretty safe to say that we have that desire to want to know Jesus more in our own lives. So what does this mean for us in our journeys today, in our 21st century context here in Vancouver? And as this, I pray that we as a people would have a fresh revelation by God's Spirit, a fresh revelation, a fresh apocalypse of revealing the attributes of God's character in our own lives. That's what it's about. We're here because we want to grow. We want to mature in our faith. If we feel like we've made it, if you feel like you're sitting here and you're like, "Nah, I've gone through a lot of, you know, spiritual maturity. I feel like I'm wise. I feel like I'm smart. I got a degree. I got this, this, and this. I'm good." No, you are not. That is perhaps maybe the most dangerous place that you can be in, being content with where you are. That's called pride. Pride is no bueno, not a good thing. It is vital for us. I can't stress this enough. Hear this from your pastor, me, and if Daniel was up here, he would say the same. It is vital for us as Christians to continually be receiving fresh revelation, praying that God would continually reveal aspects of his character to us. A continual unveiling of who God is in our own lives. That's what Paul is desiring for these believers in Ephesus. And that is, I pray that could be our desire here as well, as Christ followers here in this wonderful city that we call Vancouver, where we pay so much for literally everything, but God has a good plan for us. I was filling up, this is so random. I was filling up my gas the other day, And we usually go to Chilliwack on Saturdays to visit my wife's family. And I'm like, I'm just going to fill up like a little bit of gas here in Vancouver so that I can, when I drive to Chilliwack, it's going to be like 30 cents cheaper or whatever. You wouldn't believe what happened. I get all the way there and it's 3 cents less. I was like, no, still had to pay the same amount. I was like, oh, that is rough, but that's just the world we live in. It's all good. God has us here for a purpose and a reason. We need to have this continual pursuit in our walk and follow, and our pursuit of following Jesus. How many of us know that an athlete, professional athlete, think of somebody. I think of LeBron James. Somebody give me an athlete. Who's a famous athlete they could think of? Messi. Give me another one. Who else? What do we got? Michael Jordan. Serena Williams, tennis star, I love it. These are all people that are like have grown profound measures in their athletic field. How many of us know that these people, Michael Jordan, Serena Williams, you know, LeBron James, whoever it may be, all these people didn't just make it pro and then they're just like, I'm done. I am now at the top. I'm going to stay at the top and I'm just chilling. I get to collect my big salary. I get my, you know, promotional deals. I get my sponsors. I've made it. No, not happening, right? There's this continual gaining of knowledge. How many of us know, I don't know who's like doctors in here. I won't make you raise your hand, but I'm sure you didn't just pass, you know, the medical exam and then you're just like, I know everything, I'm done. No, there's these continual advances in medicine. There's continual, there's new things that are being uncovered in any field, right? So there's this, has to be this pursuit, this continual pursuit of gaining more knowledge. That is the same thing of what Paul is talking about here. We need this continual revelation, this continual pursuit of who God is and his plans and purposes for our lives. Does that make sense, Redemption Church? Is that kind of landing in your heart okay? Good. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. I love the facet about following Jesus. There's always more that we can grow in. There's always deeper levels of intimacy, of trust, of love that we can grow in our walks with the Lord. In regards to this idea of praying for wisdom and revelation, when I came back from YWAM, I was 20 years old. I felt, you know, very on fire, passionate for the Lord. I like to still think I, you know, carry some of those qualities still today. But I remember I made this challenge. I think I was actually reading through this book, and my mom gave me this idea. She's like, because she asked me, she's like, what do you want to grow in more? You know, classic, like, Christian mom thing. Like, you know, Ben, honey, what do you want to, like, learn more in your, like, in this new season of life? I'm like, Mom, like, what kind of question is that? But it was a good question. And I'm like, you know what? I was reading through this in Ephesians. I'm like, I want to grow in wisdom and revelation. She's like, how about you go on your phone and you write, you put a little notification or you write a reminder, you know, a little Siri. Hey, Siri, make a reminder, whatever. Oh, my goodness, just listen to me. Stop. Stop. I'm not even joking, it is right now. Okay. It literally just made a reminder saying, I'm not even joking right now. Okay. I should have thought that through more. Gotta love technology, amen. But yeah, my mom gave me this idea. She's like, why don't you make a reminder? And so every time, I can't remember what time it was on my phone, like, you know, 2 or 3 in the afternoon or whatever, I would get this reminder on my phone. It would pop up and it would say, pray for wisdom and revelation so that you may know him more. Every day. I want to say for probably, I know you guys are like, wow, you guys are like, wow, our pastor is so amazing. I'm like, that's who I am, baby. You know what I'm saying? No. But no, I was thinking about this earlier this week. I'm like, I must have did it for probably close to 6 months, and then eventually, I don't know if I just like got lazy or I don't know what happened, but I stopped. I don't do that anymore. Maybe this is my like time to like get realigned again and do that more. But I did this every single day. I would pray. I prayed out loud. Lord, I pray that you would give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I may know you more. Every day. And over time, I begin to notice this deeper hunger that would well up inside of me, this deeper desire. It became more alive. I was finding myself, when I had free time, I would drive to the beach and I would just like listen to worship music. I would want to read my Bible with friends. I would just want to do these little things, all because I feel like I was continually asking God that he would give me wisdom and revelation so that I may know him more. I wonder, in your own lives, maybe you're thinking, man, I should set a calendar reminder on my phone too. Whatever it takes, I would challenge you, do it for a month, see what happens. You never know. God wants to reveal himself to you. Sometimes I think he just wants us to ask. This is good. How are we doing for time? Doing okay. Let's keep going. So verse 18, I want to read verses 18, 19, and 20. It says this, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people." I remember the first time I read that, I was like, come again? I'm like, Paul, what did you just say? Oh. Continuing, verse 19, it says, "And his incomparably great power for us who believe. That same power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms." What a mouthful, right? What is going on in this text here? Notice, I want you to notice some of the language that Paul is using here. I wanted to include all the verses on the screen so you can look at it. Notice the words riches in verse 18 and glorious inheritance. And then you go to verse 19, incomparably great power. And then in that same verse, mighty strength. So these words, so I want you to, I wish we can like highlight it. I should have done that. That's okay. So it's these kind of like power words. Does that kind of make sense? Notice the language that Paul is using. Glorious Father, riches of his glorious inheritance, incomparably great power, mighty strength. All these profound words. It's like, Paul, what are you trying to communicate here? It's this abundance language. It's this abundance imagery and language that Paul keeps using. Paul is continually driving home to these young Ephesian believers that God has like this ultimate reservoir of like wisdom and abundance and power, and he just wants to give it out, but he wants us to ask for it. He wants his people to ask for greater measures of that. In verse 18, we see Paul asking God to open their eyes of their heart, or like their spiritual understanding, so that they can truly grasp two things. Number one, the hope to which he has called them. And number two, the riches of his glorious inheritance. The hope to which he has called them and the riches of his glorious inheritance. Here in the text, Paul is essentially saying, I so badly want you guys to know the beautiful life that's found in knowing Jesus and the rich and glorious inheritance of eternal life that is only found through a relationship with Jesus. Notice that word inheritance as well. This is a cool word in the text. This is something that I found out the other day. I thought this was so cool. I wanted to share it with you guys. So there's this interesting tie-in together that perhaps may lead you to a story that you probably know already. So let me ask you this. Is there a place or a hope that represents an inheritance that God wants to give to his chosen people? You guys think about Exodus, right? Of God, you know, leading them out of slavery and promising them this promised land, this inheritance that's taking place. It's called the inheritance. Israel moving out of slavery, where they are dying and enslaved under the powers of the government there, and they're coming through the wilderness and they're on their way with hope set on a new promised land. So we see Paul kind of has like fully kind of adopted this storyline, but he's kind of mapped it on a new Exodus, which he will talk about in chapter 2, so stay tuned. A plug to come back next week. Daniel said, oh, he's always over there. Okay, I see you. Nice. Which he will talk about in chapter 2. It's this new inheritance. You guys kind of tracking along? So remember who Paul's audience is. I know we talked about like the church itself. We know how it's like this big city. But Paul's talking to Jewish and Gentile believers. So it's important to realize the audience of who this letter is being addressed to. So this new inheritance Paul is talking about is similar to God's chosen people, the Israelites, the Jewish people, inheriting the new promised land. So these Jewish believers would understand the weightiness of this word inheritance. Does that kind of make sense? And I think something would really click for them when they have read this letter. It's like this inheritance, like, oh, what God did to our ancestors in the past, delivering them in a physical sense. Jesus wants to deliver us from the powers of sin and this new life that we have in a spiritual sense. Does that kind of make sense? That's what's going on here in the letter. It's this beautiful thing that's taking place. I want to finish here with the last couple of verses, and then we'll take some time to have communion together. So it says this. I want to read halfway through 19 and then finish with 23, and then we'll be done. says this: that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come, in the one to come, sorry. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him, Jesus, to be head over everything, for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. If you want to be reminded of the mission of Jesus, read these last 4.5 verses. This is it. This is what Jesus has done. This is Paul reminding these believers who are going through some difficulties. Don't worry. This is what Jesus' mission was. This is what he's done. This is what he will do for you. As we close today, I think it's safe to say that the Apostle Paul wants to see the Christ followers in Ephesus just really know the beauty of Jesus. Really know the power and authority in his name. That's what this is talking about. If you read these verses, there's this amazing parts that talk about his look at verse 21, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also the age to come. Jesus has power and authority over all things. He's praying that these believers in Ephesus, that they would have a greater impartation of wisdom and apocalypse and revelation so that they may know the hope of this inheritance, the hope of which he has called them, and this glorious inheritance. And I wonder today, as we finish off here at Redemption Church, I wonder, maybe you're here in the house of God and you're thinking, man, I need a revelation. I need a fresh revelation of the power and authority of God. I was wondering if we can be bold. Can we actually close our eyes in this place? Can we all close our eyes? And then I wonder if you could just raise your hand with nobody looking. Can you just raise your hand if you're like, man, I need a fresh revelation of the risen Jesus in my own life? Could you raise your hand? I want to pray for you today. And I hope it's most of us here. That's awesome. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for every person here today. God, I thank you that nobody's here by accident. God, I thank you that you have good things in store for your people. Jesus, we thank you for the inheritance, the hope, the glorious inheritance that's found in knowing you, Jesus. Lord, you defeated sin, you defeated hell and the grave, and we thank you that we have life, an abundant life that's found in you. God, I pray for every person who raised their hand or maybe the person that didn't raise their hand, but they're still want to include themselves in that. Lord, I pray that you would give all of us, Lord, give us, Lord, a spirit of wisdom and revelation, Lord, so that we may know you more. God, I pray for every person that's battling, Lord, that maybe feel like they've hit a spiritual roadblock. They feel like their wheels are spinning. They're not really growing, Lord. I pray that you would fill them afresh today, Lord Jesus, that you would encourage them, Lord, that you would strengthen them by your Holy Spirit. God, we pray your blessing over every person here today, God. I ask, Lord, that there would be testimonies in the days and weeks to come of people experiencing new revelations, new insights of your power, of your glory, and your love for them today. God, as we take some time now to partake in communion, Jesus, I pray that you would remind us again today of the power and the significance of what you did on the cross. Lord Jesus, we know that though it was an act done many, many years ago, it's still prevalent and still applicable in our lives today. Lord, I pray that would never grow, like it would never become boring. It would never become a normal thing. Would the power of the cross, the death and the resurrection always be at the forefront of our minds as followers of Jesus? God, we love you and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.